Welcome to this episode of 60 Second Retail, a BDO podcast keeping you in the know on events and trends in the retail and consumer products industry impacting your bottom line in just a few short minutes.
Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Natalie Cutler, national leader of the Retail and Consumer Products Industry Group at BDO. Today, we're breaking down the true cost of customer acquisition, from benchmarks to what's working right now, to how do retailers can assess quality versus volume. Joining us today is Rob Bonham, the advisory market leader, to help us make sense of the shifting customer acquisition cost landscape. Welcome back to the show, Rob.
Natalie, it is so great to be on with you again. And I'm looking forward to talking about your favorite topic.
It really
is. Customer acquisition cost.
So let's dive right in. How do you define customer acquisition costs?
So it's actually pretty straightforward. At its simplest, it's, you know, the cost of acquiring a customer, and that is a new customer. So I want to emphasize new for purposes of this, and then I'll mention something here in a second. But the formula is pretty straightforward. It's total acquisition spend divided by the number of new customers you acquire. But in retail, obviously, there's a lot of nuance to what you do to drive your cost. It can be, you know, include your marketing spend. I've seen it include marketing automation technology, the cost of a license, discounts, first order discounts, promotional offers, things like that. So there's a lot of things that can go into that. But the key for determining your true cost of acquiring a customer, you need to make sure that you're looking at new customers. Okay, so I'm not going to exclude repeat customers in this, but as a retailer, you have to, I think, exclude customers that have bought from you in, say, the last 12 months. So any repeat customer, and you want to get them, right? But in terms of determining what your true cost is, wait for 12 to 24 months on those customers. Otherwise, we're talking net new. Because if you start to count repeating purchases and things like that, it's gonna lower your customer acquisition cost, and that's not the true cost.
So good segue into my next question. What are we seeing as the average cost of customer acquisition today, and how much does it vary, whether it's retail channel, and what is considered a good or valid or valuable customer acquisition cost in the current landscape?
So this is a kind of a trick question, because the honest answer is there's no single benchmark that drives it. You know, and so I hesitate to throw out numbers, but I will give you a sense of what that is. You know, in e-commerce today, the cost of acquiring a customer can range from $50 to $130, $150 per new customer. And a lot of that is driven by the channel that you're using to get that customer. So, you know, paid social is kind of in the higher end of that, $70 to say $100 range, depending again on the category, the creative that you're using, the quality of that creative. And then if you look at search, you know, Google search and high intent keywords and things of that nature, they're typically going to drive a lower acquisition cost because the customers are already there, right? They have intent to buy. Marketplaces, so Amazon is a marketplace. Walmart Connect is a marketplace. They can be even more efficient, particularly for retailers, you know, grocery retailers and consumables, because again, the intent to purchase is really high. Okay, so the one thing that is part of your question was, you know, long term, how do we look at this? A good cost of acquisition for a new customer really needs to be supported by the lifetime value of that customer. Okay, so what I mean there is, in order to determine the real cost of that, you can't just look at what you're spending to get that customer once. Okay, so many retailers start to look at a ratio between the lifetime value of the customer versus the cost of acquiring that customer. And kind of a rule of thumb is 3-to-1 LTV, lifetime value of the customer to the cost of the acquisition. It varies, but because we have so many different types of retail, it's going to vary. But if you do that and you start to make sense of what your actual cost of acquiring a customer is when you pair it with a lifetime value.
I think the danger with customer acquisition costs, and I'm just going to focus in on one aspect of that, and that would be discounts. You know, we see a lot of retailers mm-hmm. doing heavy discounting on that initial purchase. And I think the danger there may be, and let me know if you agree, the danger when providing that heavy discount in the beginning is that it creates an expectation that that product may be purchased for that same amount later on, which in many cases it's not.
Absolutely true. And discounts do play a big part in that. You know, I'll talk about this in a second, but if you look at blanket discounts across the site, for example, those are much less targeted and raise your costs. When you start to do targeted promotions, particularly at the point of purchase. Uh-huh. So, you know, shopping cart abandonment, when they get down to the final call to action, you know, those kind of things, and you pop that in, that can be very effective.
Right.
Okay. So, but again, there's no one answer to this because as we know, demographics, getting into, you know, the next thing to look at here is, like age and gender, they absolutely play a role in the cost of acquiring a customer, but they don't change the formula. The formula is still the same. Uh-huh. But what it does is it changes the economics around acquiring that customer. So, you know, for example, you know, there's certain demographic groups, it costs more to reach because advertisers are very aggressive in competing for that purchase, right? So you've got younger audiences, let's say 18 to 34, they tend to have higher media costs. And the reason they do is because they tend to browse more and they buy less frequently. So, you know, they're out there scrolling, looking at things all the time. An older audience, for example, can often be reached much less expensively and convert at a higher rate because they tend to be brand loyal, more brand loyal. Uh-huh. And they also tend to be more decisive in their purchase, right? We're using e-commerce as an example here, but it could be brick and mortar. You're right. Walking into a store and you have in your mind what you want. Okay. So the cost of that acquisition is lower and uh-huh. your conversion rate is much higher for somebody like that. And that ties also into the lifetime value of the customer. You know, if you have somebody that has a higher propensity to buy and they like what you're selling, they're going to continue to sell. So your lifetime value of that customer is higher, bringing down the actual cost of the acquisition.
And I would imagine that the customer acquisition cost, whether it's discounts or bringing them into the site, whether it's through social media or other forms of advertising, also is impacted by whether it's a luxury product or a lower, maybe more moderately priced product. I'm sure that that plays a role in it as well.
Well, yeah, if you look particularly at consumables and groceries and things like that, which are low margin businesses, they have to go someplace that the customer already is, right? Because they can't afford to, like you can in a, you know, a luxury vehicle or something like that. You need to go someplace where people sit. And they're ready to buy because you can't afford the additional cost of acquiring them.
Right, right. Good point. So having said all that, what tactics are proving most effective for lowering customer acquisition costs right now? Because we know that's not going away. There's a lot of competition out in the marketplace. There's lots of products, lots of experiences. What tactics, or are there any tactics that are more effective at lowering the customer acquisition cost? And what overlooked levers can retailers pull to improve these cost efficiencies without increasing the spend?
Yeah. I don't know whether these are levers that good retail marketers don't know about. I think they probably do, but there's a handful of them to look at. And typically the biggest gains are not coming from just buying cheaper media. Again, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, the formula doesn't change, but the economics around the formula change. So this is kind of in that vein. And so, you know, the first one that I can think of is creative. So it's your content. And I'll give you an example. I think we've used Abercrombie in the past in talking about some of the things that they do, because, you know, they're out on the forefront. You know, they publicly said that they're shifting most or a good chunk of their paid media spend back towards short-term consumer-led videos, consumer-created videos with real people, real outfits, minimum polish that you would have if you were going in paid media. And that shift actually for Abercrombie has improved engagement because people relate to it better. And as a result, their conversion efficiency has gone up, even though the cost of advertising, paid advertising, has gone north. Theirs has improved that way. You know, again, across some social platforms, user generated style content, and we've talked about this before when we were talking about influencers, is consistently delivering 30 to 50% lower cost per acquisition compared to it if you went into a studio and did an ad. So that's number one. Number two is optimizing your conversion rate. So Best Buy, great retailer, has invested heavily in product education. So if you go on their site and you look to buy, you know, let's say a television, they have comparison tools on there. They have reviews. They have buying guides. They have clearer fulfillment messaging than before. And the result of that educational content, it's lifting conversion rates for them. Yeah, 10 to 20% bump by educating people. And we know that the consumer is doing much more of their own research now than they ever have before when it was strictly brick and mortar. So brick and mortar still plays a big part in that, obviously for a big box store like Best Buy, but this is a way that they're lowering their cost of acquisition without increasing spend. So that's number two. Number three, and I'm going to point this back to grocery and consumables. If you have a channel that you already own, so you've got great email program, SMS programs that are welcoming people to you, that routinely converts 15 to 25% of new subscribers, and it's something that they already have. So if you've got a good retail SMS program, you know, continue to ride that. That's number three. Number four is the channel mix. So again, grocery is a big part of retail, consumables. So retail media networks, Amazon, Walmart Connect, Instacart, that's where consumers are already there buying. Lean into that because that can deliver 30 to 50% lower cost of acquisition, again, versus paid social, simply because the buyers are there and their intent is to buy. And then lastly, we talked about promotions. And the point here is, don't promote everything on your site. You know, today, 10% off, you know, if you buy, because that tends to, again, artificially lower the value of what you're selling, because people think that it's not worth that extra 10%. Otherwise, they wouldn't be giving it away. So target your incentives only when friction exists. Okay, so that's at checkout, that's cart abandonment, that's things like that. And you know, be segmented when you're using that. And we talked about demographics. There's a whole lot of segments in those demographics that you should focus in on. So, you know, I think retailers are lowering their cost per acquisition more, but they're relying on relevant content, reducing friction, meeting customers where they are, all of those kind of things.
Terrific. Well, very good. Thank you so much, Rob. Improving customer acquisition costs isn't really just spending smarter. It's about understanding the quality, the intent, and the long-term value. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with your marketing and growth strategy leaders. Until next time, keep optimizing for smarter, more efficient customer growth. And don't forget to add us to your library wherever you listen to podcasts so you can stay updated on the ever-evolving retail landscape. Thank you and have a great day.
And that concludes this episode of BDO's 60-Second Retail Podcast. Don't forget to tune in for the next episode. To find more information on our hosts, guests, BDO's services, or listen to previous episodes of 60-Second Retail, please visit www.bdo.com/60-second-retail.